You're listening to Kyle Warren.
So all this rearrangement of U.S. policy, heretofore traditional U.S. policy towards Israel, all of this rearrangement, as it were, or simply abandoning Israel in so many ways, they're doing that because they think it's going to have a particular effect on those who are either leading these protests, involved in these protests, sympathetic to these protests. So maybe, just maybe, if we start halting any kind of arms sales or shipments to Israel and say, well, we don't want this used in Rafah, and we're going to demonstrate just how unhappy we are with Israel's going into Rafah to continue to clean out Hamas, well, then people will like us again. They're going to vote for us again. They're going to stop all this criticism. They're going to stop calling me Genocide Joe. Guess what, folks? It's not really working that way. So I would submit, why make these changes? Because every indication is that by changing this policy, or by putting that daylight now between the U.S. and Israel, is only going to, number one, make it harder for Israel to clean out Hamas, and it's also going to simply embolden these terror groups to not need to worry about negotiating, to not need to worry about actually stopping what they're doing, because guess what? The U.S. is now coming against Israel in a very, very, in a very, very specific way. And that will embolden them, at least in my estimation. Folks, welcome to the weekend edition. Kyle Warren with you. It's great to be with you here on this wonderful Saturday morning. And we have a lot to talk about, a lot to tell you about as we go through the program today. We've got a lot of great audio quotes. We've got a lot of great stories to talk about. And don't forget, we love to take your telephone calls as well. If you're up early with us here on Saturday morning, 949-822-7959 is the number to call. If you'd like to be part of the program, you can also head over to my home website of KyleWarrenShow.com. That's KyleWarrenShow.com. If you'd like to send us a direct message, if you'd like to find out about the program, if you'd like to check out the live streams, if you'd also like to check out the podcast as well. A lot of people finding it, and we're very happy about that. Very, very enthusiastic. And once again, folks, the weekend edition is now officially launching. And we do want to say good morning to Richard the Marine, sending in a direct message this morning. Good morning, Mr. Kyle. 59 degrees and clear. That's great. He says, hot day in Florence. And Richard the Marine, of course, is up there on his vantage point of the central coast of Oregon. And he says, have a great weekend. Missed you last night. There were a couple of technical aspects last night. That's right. And I appreciate the listeners who let us know when something isn't working so we can pass it on. And everything got shipshape in Bristol fashion, as they say. And we appreciate that so very, very much. All right. So once again, and thanks again, Richard. He says, Semper Fi. And we say Semper Fi right back to Richard. So if you'd like to send us a direct message this morning, again, simply hop on over to KyleWarrenShow.com. That's KyleWarrenShow.com. Well, we got a couple of interesting things to start off with this morning. We will tell you about these protests and these organizers and strategists, as they're being called, that really aren't seeing Joe Biden's new policy, or the Biden administration, you know, the people in the basement of the White House who come up with this stuff, that really, you know, doing what they're doing about these weapon shipments or other agreements with Israel, which is kind of iffy if they can actually stop those unilaterally. But nevertheless, it's not having the desired effect. In other words, they're not saying, okay, great, well, we don't have to worry anymore because Joe Biden's on our side now. And this is my point. I don't know that you could be on their side, right? even so, I mean, and Joe Biden and the Biden administration, Biden campaign, they're doing this, you know, I think for in their own self-interest, right? But we'll tell you about that here in just a moment. But first, there is this very interesting story. The first time we've had a major geomagnetic storm in nearly 20 years. This from the Daily Mail. A rare and powerful solar storm may occur in outer space today. That would be Friday, which could wreak havoc on Earth, officials have warned. The first in nearly 20 years, if it happens. And at least five streams of plasma known as coronal mass ejections, or CMEs, are heading toward Earth, prompting the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, to issue several geomagnetic storm watches on Friday, and it will go through the weekend. That's why we wanted to mention it here on the program this morning. This is the first such alert aired since 2005, when Earth was hit by with the highest dose of radiation in a half century. This time around, the, quote, unusual event, unquote, could disrupt electronic devices like GPS, parts of the power grids, NOAA said, while citing how it may also drape a huge portion of the country as far south as Alabama in colorful natural lights, right? Or those northern lights, you know, traditionally as they're called. The CMEs exploded from a massive sunspot in an area on the sun that is cooler on the surface on May 8th, paving the way for the alert. So, again, yeah, and that's what sunspots are. They're these cool areas, as I recall. But this is, again, it's very important. And so, obviously, if any kind of communications could be disrupted or other kinds of things, internet connections could also be at risk. And so we're just going to continue to monitor this. But it is interesting. Sometimes all the things happening here on Earth, and sometimes it's interesting to remember and look up and see that there's a lot of stuff going on in the heavens, as it were, and certainly in our solar system. And so when we get to see these kinds of events, yes, we want to take precautions or we want to be ready for that kind of thing. But it is very, very interesting to see sometimes these grand scale events. Can you imagine how large these ejections really are compared to the Earth? And it just really something. All right, folks, stay right there. When we come back, we'll tell you more about these protests, the Israel policy, and a bunch of other stuff. A bunch of other stuff. That's the technical term. All right, stay right there. We are coming right back. You know, with everything going on in New York with the Trump trial, everything else going on with the protests, everything else going on with Joe Biden talking about the economy and how people have money, they just don't like spending it, but they have the money. So many ways they don't have the money, Mr. President. But in all of this, it could be that Donald Trump has single-handedly broken James Carville. I kid you not. I'm not making it up. In fact, I think we'll have this. I want to tell you about this here in just a moment. But yes, I think Donald Trump, out of everything that's been going on, if in fact he has broken James Carville and just sent him into a state of some sort. I don't even know quite how to describe it. But if he's broken James Carville, then it's possible that anything literally is possible in this election cycle. It means that Donald Trump could be marching to victory. Again, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But if my theory is correct, I think that there may be these rays of sunlight that are starting to come out now about where we may be going in this election. Not bad. Don't get me wrong, though. Not getting complacent, not getting to the point where, oh, this is a cakewalk. We're sailing to victory. No, I'm not saying that. But I will tell you about James Carville here in just a moment. Audio that you absolutely need to hear as a listener to this program. Okay, but first, let's give a little bit of detail here on these Israel protests, I should say, in relation to Joe Biden and the Biden administration's, and presumably the Biden campaign's, want and need to curtail, shall we say, arms shipments to Israel, believing that this is going to win them votes and hearts and minds. Well, let's check this out. This is from Reuters. U.S. President Joe Biden's decision to pause shipments of thousands of bombs to Israel over the U.S. allies' attacks on Rafah won praise from some critical Democrats, but won't stop protests about Gaza that have dogged his reelection effort, strategists and organizers say. Biden's decision last week marks the first time he has withheld U.S. military aid from Israel since the country began attacking Gaza 7 months ago, pursuing Hamas militants, as they're called, but we also know them as a different word, a more appropriate word, much more descriptive word, terrorists, the Hamas terrorists. Republicans and some Democrats have accused Biden of putting the security of the U.S. closest ally in the region at risk. Yeah, for good reason. It's also too little too late to satisfy, too little too late to satisfy the left-leaning coalition of young voters and people of color who have led the protests against Israel's attacks, many say. Pro-Palestinian protests, also known as anti-Israel protests, have swept college campuses across the country, followed Biden at private events, and pushed Democrats in key battleground states to, quote, vote uncommitted to signal their unhappiness as deaths in Israel-occupied Gaza climbed to 35,000. Now, that's also, I mean, that's a terrible number, isn't it? And I don't know how much of that number is relied upon from Hamas itself. That's also a very good question. Quote, we welcome Biden's words and this gesture towards taking responsibility for U.S. complicity in these crimes, said Stephanie Fox, executive director of Jewish Voice for Peace, a group whose members are involved with protests around the country, including on college campuses. If his words are to mean anything rather than a one-off pause, this needs to be the start of a sea change in U.S. policy, Fox said. See, this is where it's going. It's not about, well, don't go into Rafah. Rafah is too far. Rafah is too much. That's not it at all. It's not about that. It's about generating a sea change in U.S. policy. And the only thing I can glean from that, my friends, is that, again, Israel's going to be on its own, essentially. It's not going to be able to stop the terrorists. They will reconstitute. They will get all kinds of aid and presumably weapons. Iran will continue to call these shots, and Israel will be once again coming under attack. And, this kind of thing, again, if Joe Biden wants to do this, or his people, his campaign, whatever, right? If they think, well, this is where we really got to shore up our votes with the anti-Israel protest group, well, it's not really going to do much anyway. They're not applauding this in that sense. This is going to fall under that give them an inch and they'll take a mile sort of filing cabinet, as it were. Protesters are seeking suspension of military aid to Israel, a permanent ceasefire in Gaza, and for universities to divest from companies that support Israel's actions in Gaza. Israel is retaliating for Hamas militant or terror attacks on October 7th that killed 1,200 people. Well, I'll tell you this, They're looking for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. There was a ceasefire in Gaza. There was. Don't ever forget. Somebody comes up to you and says, well, the Israel went into Gaza and Gaza this and Gaza that. Just tell them Israel gave Gaza. They ceded it to the Palestinians. Palestinians turned around and elected and put Hamas in power. Hamas then spent the rest of that time digging tunnels and getting ready in order to pounce on Israel because they want to destroy Israel. We've said it so many times here on the show. That's what the plan is. That's what the plan will always be. It's not a two-state solution. It's not anything like that. It is all about destroying Israel. That's what they're doing. That's what they want to do. So when you talk about a permanent ceasefire in Gaza, again, there was a ceasefire in Gaza. Hamas, and at direction of Iran and support of Iran, they broke that ceasefire and did the most abominable things that words are hardly adequate to describe. So that's where this is really going, folks. But that's right. Again, this is, if you kowtow to these terror groups or terror group supporters, they're never going to be happy. They're never going to say, okay, we're good now. Hey, thanks so much, because now we're happy. Somebody else who's not happy, let's listen in to James Carville, who's posted on X, I believe, and he's kind of had a tirade about this, but he says nothing that they are doing, the Democrats really are doing, are working against Trump, and that he's more ahead than ever. Let's listen in.
Everything that we're throwing is spaghetti at a wall, and none of it is sticking, me included. And it's hard when you start in your 80th year, and you like anybody else, I have an opinion of myself, and the opinion I've come to is I don't matter. It doesn't matter. You can prepare, you can be on TV, or you can write pieces, you can have a YouTube channel, you can have a podcast, and nothing. And, we got to, try to think of something different, because what we're doing is really, really not working.
As I said, coming into this segment, it's possible, I'm just throwing this out there, it's possible, listening to James Carville just now, that Donald Trump has broken James Carville. James Carville now either he needs something to help him. I don't know. But that, to me, folks, that sounds like a throwing in of the towel. That sounds like a resignation of, look, there's nothing that we're doing is working. Saying it's like throwing spaghetti against the wall. This is really important, because James Carville, I think has a great ability in this area, and he sees that this stuff isn't working, and that's because the people understand what's happened in the past. They get what's happening now with the lawfare. They're not buying it. They don't like Biden. And James Carville may have just thrown up his hands. All right, folks, stay right there. We are coming right back on this weekend edition.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
All right, welcome back. It is the weekend edition, everybody. Kyle Warren with you, of course. 949-822-7959 is the number to call if you'd like to be part of the program this morning. And we have a lot happening. happening on the show this morning. We've got some great audio clips for you. We're going to be talking with Denise Simon here next hour, tail end of next hour, and then all through hour number three of the program this morning. And so we're just glad you're there. We're glad to be here. And thanks once again for all the great messages we get. Thanks for the calls. And thanks again just for being there. I mean, it really, really means the world to me. And we're having a lot of fun. And I think that's okay, right? Because, you know, we're talking about these very serious issues. I don't know what could be more serious than many of the things that we talk about on the program. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the world is on the cusp of really just a major conflicts. And, you know, a lot of this has to do, I think, with weak leadership, with no vision in the leadership, with placating and kowtowing to different groups for fear that, you know, this is going to affect the election somehow. When in reality, it would be so much better. You would win so much more respect. And I'm just talking theoretically here. Don't worry. The people in the basement of the White House are not going to take this advice in any way, shape, or form, because it's anathema to them. It will make no sense. It will simply be so opposite of what they believe in terms of how they're running things and where they really want things to go and what the agenda really is. You know, they're not going to listen to this. But what I'm saying is this. It would be so much better if and you generate so much more respect by, you know, standing up at the podium at the White House and talking into the cameras and saying, we are going to support Israel doing what they need to do to stop Hamas. I mean, you could even have a flow chart if you wanted one. You'd have the flow chart up there that would, you know, basically, here's Iran and here's an arrow going to Hamas and an arrow going to Hezbollah and an arrow going to all these different terror groups. And then obviously their goal, destroy Israel. And it would just be a great visual aid, I would perchance to think. But then say, look, we're going to help our ally Israel deal with these terror groups. Does anybody remember, you could say, does anybody remember when Iran launched all those drones at Israel? And do you remember how that was unprecedented, that they're attacking Israel from their own soil, et cetera, et cetera? And simply say, I'm telling you what, if you don't want to vote for me, then don't vote for me. But we are going to stand with our allies because they share our values. They are working towards having a better world, and they're our friends. And so, you know, that's it. Like it or lump it. I mean, that would at least show it would show leadership and determination and a spirit of let the chips fall where they may. But of course, Joe Biden's never going to do something like that. The people in the basement of the White House would never, ever think to do that. Because I hate to say this, I mean, it really pains me to say that I think ultimately it's because, no, that they don't align with the values of most Americans. They don't align with the values of our friends in Israel. They don't align with those. They have a much different vision of what the world should look like. They have a much different vision of what the Middle East should be about. They have a much different vision about your life in general. And I think it's just, it's important to call that kind of stuff out. It's important to say it out loud. Because I'm here to tell you, it's not because they're morons in the classic sense. It's not because they don't get it. It's because they do get it. And they understand how to take it down. They understand the Cloward-Piven strategy. They understand all this stuff. And so you're dealing with we were talking with Denise Simon yesterday in the program, you know, about the infiltration and the inculcation throughout many of these government agencies, especially in the State Department, You know, you have people who have, and also we're talking about this with Frank Silvato, as I recall, too, that have this, you know, they have this sort of ideology. They have Marxist ideology in so many cases. And so those things just don't line up with what John and Jane Q. Public across the highways and byways of the land, you know, who wake up every morning and do their job or, you know, work hard and take care of their business and their families and act responsibly in the world. And it's shocking to find out that, well, the people at the very top and the elite and those who have this hold on power and policy, that they have this philosophy that is so far diametrically opposed to what they hold dear, John and Jane Q. Public across the highways and byways, that it's so diametrically opposed to what they hold dear that it's, as I said, it's just shocking. And so, again, you know, you might hear somebody say, well, they don't know how to do stuff and whatnot. No, they do. They do. Believe me, they do. And they're just ready to tear it all down. Well, this from Reuters. Debate over whether U.S. interest rates are high enough dependent among Federal Reserve officials this week and may be stoked further after a key survey showed a jump in consumer inflation expectations. There are important upside risks to inflation that are on my mind, and I think there's also uncertainties about how restrictive policy is and whether it's sufficiently restrictive, unquote, to return inflation to the U.S. central bank's 2% target, Dallas Fed President Lori Logan said at a Louisiana Bankers Association conference in New Orleans. I think it's just too early to think about cutting rates. I think I need to see some of these uncertainties resolved about the path that we're on, and we need to remain very flexible, Logan said, though she did not directly address whether she feels the Fed may need again to raise its benchmark policy rate from the 5.25 to 5.5% range that has been maintained since July. On an appearance on CNBC, Minneapolis Fed President Neil Kashkari said he is in a wait-and-see mode in regards to what's next with central bank policy, and the Fed can stay at current rates, quote, as long as needed to bring inflation down. But he added there is a high bar to concluding that higher rates are needed to cool inflation. Many U.S. central bank officials, including Fed Chair Jerome Powell, have said they still think further rate hikes will prove unnecessary. Well, yeah, and that's, you know, what they're saying today. But if they want to stick around with this 2% holy grail kind of a thing, I would not be surprised. I'm not saying it's going to happen, and I'm not saying it's necessarily the case that it will happen. But certainly, if they want to get to that 2%, then they may find that they would have to put more pain out there, because I've heard it described like that before. Well, you know, what we need to do when inflation is too high, we got to go out and we got to create some pain in the economy and in the society, and people have to feel the pain, and then they'll stop spending so much, and then we'll start tamping down inflation, and like they can control it, you know, like flipping a switch here and there. But can you imagine the devastation in terms of outlook and perception that people would have if there was another rate hike? Not saying there would be necessarily, but can you imagine what would happen if there was? And again, I think that's tied to the 2% holy grail of this stuff. That's why I tend to think that the Fed will revise its expectations, right? They will revise what it means to win against inflation. And, you know, part of me kind of anticipates that that's going to sort of coincide with how this election season is going. And just perhaps it's time. Well, yeah, I think we can get a rate cut in here. And then people will say, oh, good, everything's going in the right direction. Joe Biden must be helping us somehow. But he's not really. And I'm telling you, folks, it's just every day it's up or down, but that's kind of, you know, how they play this thing at us. Okay, folks, stay right there. We are coming right back. I'll warn with you. It is the weekend edition. Stay right there. Welcome back, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. But a nice girl wouldn't tell you what you should do. All right, we are having fun on this weekend edition this morning. Glad that you're there. Glad to be here. And I'm telling you, the week goes by very, very quickly. I know I talk about how the program goes by in and of itself, individually, each and every morning, each and every night, depending on your perspective. But yeah, it's the weeks go by very, very quickly too. And so I think that's a good thing. And I was just telling a friend of mine earlier today, you know, here we are because this weekend is Mother's Day, by the way, of course. And it just seems like, wow, it's Mother's Day already. Oh my gosh. It's almost half the year has gone by and it really has just been a blur. There's no doubt about that. And so, you know, thinking about, well, here's Mother's Day already, I was thinking, well, maybe I should just start Christmas shopping at this point, because I think I'm going to blink my eyes and it's going to be Christmas time, right? And the best thing about Christmas time for me, at least as far as the show is concerned, is the Christmas music bumpers. I have to tell you, I love the Christmas music bumpers. It just gets me into the holiday spirit, as it were. But folks, let me ask you this question. What if I told you that you could save a baby's life for just $28? Well, it's true. Preborn is a ministry doing just that with the help of people just like you by offering free ultrasound sessions to pregnant women and girls who might otherwise choose to end their pregnancy. And we know that pregnant girls and women who can see their babies on ultrasound are far more likely to choose life. And your gift today can save babies' lives. Just $28 can give a mother who is abortion-minded the chance to see the truth of the baby that's growing inside her. $140 can do this for 5 girls and women. And if you could give a gift of $15,000, that would provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. And whether you want to save one baby, 5, or hundreds, that opportunity is just one phone call or one click away. And there's no better time than right now to save a baby's life. Call 833-850-BABY. That's 833-850-2229. Or give online at letstalkfaith.com. That's letstalkfaith.com. All right, folks. So once again, welcome back with the program this morning. A lot happening as always. We've been talking about, obviously, the continued protests and, you know, the Israel policy and so forth. Talking about Fed policy as well. But certainly we've got so many other things to talk about as we go through the program this morning. In fact, we're going to head over to the telephone lines right now. We've got John in Nyack, New York, giving us a call this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Kyle. Yes, I heard you talking earlier about the inflation rate and about how they're probably going to move the goalposts again to decide that they don't have to keep interest rates so high.
Right.
But I think that the Democrats have a huge problem, and their problem is that their answer to everything, including getting votes, typically is giving away money that we don't have.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that we're like 26 trillion or something around that ballpark in the hole right now in debt as Americans. And recently we gave away, $100 billion to Israel and Ukraine and Taiwan. And then before that, we gave away, I forgot, I think it could have been as much as $1 trillion to students who the government decided shouldn't pay back their loans. So the rest of us with our taxes, including people who went to trade school and have real jobs that make real money,
right,
instead of fake diplomas and basket weaving. So the government keeps on spending money. And that, I believe, is the root cause of inflation. And so, yeah, the interest rates are trying to stop the bleeding. But if you just let it bleed, interest rates going up or going down are not going to stop inflation. We're spending more than we make.
Oh, yeah. And government spending in and of itself is inflationary, like you're saying. And this, and but we can't get a handle on it because we can never get the government to say we're going to cut spending dramatically in these other areas and try to get to the, you know, so-called balanced budget amendment.
Exactly. And you and I both know between now and the election, they're going to try and buy as many votes as they can.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've got the immigrants that they're spending money on, New York, Chicago. It's our money that they're spending, and now we have too much cash chasing too little goods because, of course, what they spend money on doesn't produce anything.
Right, right, exactly. And they are going to buy votes, or they are buying votes as we speak. I mean, this whole thing,
yes.
And I'm so glad you mentioned too, John, that, you know, people who went to trade school or they have a different vocation, occupation, you know, are they just, they're all out in the cold and they don't get anything? I mean, you know, because it's just unfair. And certainly, I think that stirs up more people.
It's worse than unfair. It's diabolical because them paying the tuitions and the loans of all these people who went to college, they're not really learning anything in college anymore. They're being indoctrinated. And college is one of the highest inflations. The price of college goes up and up every year. And basically, our government is paying all these professors to indoctrinate leftist students. And then, of course, they all vote Democrat who spend more money.
That's
it's a
right.
vicious cycle.
Yeah, and print money, to say the least. I know. And it's just one of these things. I mean, you and I can't live our lives by simply saying, I'm just going to up my credit limit here and go into, you know, further debt. I'm just going to keep spending and spending. We actually have to make decisions on where our money goes. And sometimes those decisions aren't very easy.
Right, right. And it's so funny because they don't even have to print money anymore. We don't even get to use the resources of printers and ink and paper. They could just pick up the phone now and call up the Treasury and say, call our favorite banks and tell them to add more zeros in those computers.
I know.
And of course, then they sell bonds to the Chinese and we're in the hole more.
Well, that's right. That's right. And until we get this kind of spending under control, you know, and until there's a clear message about that, you know, I just can't even conceive of $34 trillion. You know, I just can't even
right.
conceive of it. And how we would ever, quote, pay that off or get to the point where we're not beholden. And you're right. We don't want to be beholden to foes, you know, in terms of who owns a lot of our debt. I mean, that's to me is just a wrongheaded thinking.
Right. And not only that, but until that happens, I don't foresee it in the foreseeable future, we're going to have inflation.
Indeed.
Because the real quote control of inflation is not interest rates. It's stop spending money we don't have.
Right. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. But until these politicians.
Okay. Thank you, Kyle.
Hey.
I've got to run.
Hey,
I do appreciate your show.
Hey,
it's one of the few lights we have left. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, John.
Good
Take
night.
Care. We'll talk again soon. That's John in Nyack, New York, everybody out there doing his thing this morning. And we're very, very happy about that. And I'll tell you something else, too. I'll tell you something else. Until these politicians begin to realize that the way that we're conducting business, for example, saying, look, you know, elect me to Congress, elect me to the Senate, I'm going to bring home a bunch of federal money to our district or to our state. You know, that's a big thing. And simply having all that federal money there is a part of the problem. And a lot of things need to be much more locally based, much more state based. Otherwise, we continue to really kind of give up a lot of our abilities to the federal government. And we cede a lot of power to the central government. And that sometimes does not really work in everybody's favor. It works in some politicians' favor, but not really everybody. All right. Stay right there, folks. Thanks again to John. I appreciate the kind words, by the way. That really means the world. Stay right there, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. We're going to come right back right after the top of the hour news. Stay right there. You know, when you got people like James Carville starting to say it doesn't matter what they do, and you got people like David Axelrod saying pride may be the thing that ultimately beats Joe Biden in the rematch for the White House. You know, if you're the Democrat Party, you're the Biden campaign, you're the far left, the Democrat Party elite, you've got problems. Because you would think that, well, they just know exactly what they're doing. I mean, they know how to win these elections, and, you know, we're going to withhold military support from Israel. That ought to get people going, and I ought to go out there and tell people that, you know, they've got plenty of money. I just know it just bugs them to have to spend all that money and so on and so forth. And we've already turned the economy around, and inflation was at 9% when I came into office. Ah, it's all Trump's fault. And oh, and by the way, Trump is also responsible for the border, right? The Republicans are responsible for the border. You know, it's anything but Joe Biden. It's anything but the people of the basement of the White House. It's anything but this cockamamie agenda and this very serious, destructive agenda. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. That's what's happening before our very eyes, folks. It's not the Republicans' fault on the border. And this, and we told you earlier in the week, too, right, that Charles Schumer, you know, is wanting to bring back the bipartisan border bill. Just, and it's not because they want to get it really passed, per se. It's that they want to bash Republicans with it because they know they're not going to vote for it. And, you know, and again, I just refer you back to H.R. 2, which is the kind of thing that we should be looking at. But the Democrats will never vote for that. But at any rate, folks, welcome back to the program. Of course, Kyle Warren with you. Hour number two officially launching as we head into orbit this morning. And we talk about all these different things that are happening. Kyle Warren with you, as I said. Glad to be with you on this wonderful Saturday morning. 949-822-7959 is the number to call. If you'd like to be part of the program this morning, you can also head over to my home website, KyleWarrenShow.com. That's KyleWarrenShow.com. If you'd like to send us a direct message, find out about the show, find out about the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. Well, as I was saying, you know, if you're David Axelrod or if you are James Carville, you know that there's trouble in Denmark. There's just no doubt about it. There is all kinds of trouble in Denmark, and they see what's happening. In fact, there's some calls now even for Chuck Schumer to resign. This from Newsmax. Supporters of Israel gathered outside the Manhattan office of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat out of New York, of course, on Friday, chanting traitor and calling on the nation's highest-ranking Jewish politician to resign for, quote, backstabbing Israel and falling silent
and failing, by the way, too. I think he's failing. But falling silent in the wake of a nationwide outbreak of anti-Semitism. The demonstration featuring about 40 protesters occurred a few days after Schumer said he told reporters he had faith in President Joe Biden's decision to withhold shipments to Israel, weapon shipments, because of its planned military operation against Iranian-backed Hamas terrorists in the Gaza city of Rafah. Schumer the Doomer, it's time to resign, the crowd shouted. Okay, well, this is one time that sounds kind of clever, I suppose. It was about 2 months ago when Schumer created controversy when he called on Israel to hold new elections, saying on the Senate floor he believed Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had, quote, lost his way and was an obstacle to peace in the region. And again, you know, this all goes down to some of these things. Let's just say he really feels like this. Okay, let's just for the sake of argument that he really feels like this. Well, maybe you want to back channel that, or you want to talk to Netanyahu, or somehow the American government, you know, if it has legitimate concerns about something, not just particularly this, but in the event that it has concerns, maybe you back channel that kind of stuff as opposed to doing it out on the Senate floor of all places. Because all that did, that was done, I think, part and parcel with the blessing of the Biden administration to go out there and call for this major shift and essentially communicate a major shift in U.S. policy toward Israel. Namely, we don't think the Israeli prime minister should remain. We think there should be new elections right away in the middle of a war. In the middle of this time when Israel is fighting to make sure that it can fight another day. And that, my friends, was where this real backstabbing began. And I was just really taken aback by the whole thing, because it's so transparent. You can see right through it. And Chuck Schumer, of course, you know, I don't really listen to him on much of anything. During a news conference Wednesday, Schumer was asked whether it was appropriate for the Biden administration to hold up the weapons delivery to Israel as it assesses its military operation into Rafah. He says, look, I believe that Israel and America have an ironclad relationship. There it is again. But this is so much lip service, at least by their actions. I think it looks like just lip service, sounds like lip service. He says, look, I believe that Israel and America have an ironclad relationship, and I have faith in what the Biden administration is doing, he said. An 80-year-old New York woman told the Post on Friday that Schumer is a, quote, sniveling coward, unquote, for not supporting Israel's looming siege in Rafah. Schumer is like a rock. Nothing will move him. He is what he is. It's her words, a putrid human being, she said. But that's because these emotions really run high, don't they? And it's not just emotions. This is my political bent, so, you know, I'm mad that you don't agree with me of my political philosophy. This is very, very different than that, my friends. This has everything to do with the notion that you have people that have come under attack, that the terrorist group is embedded into the Palestinian population. They use them as human shields. We've been over this, right? So how do you conduct those operations? How do you make sure you protect your people? It is so complicated that it's almost impossible. And Schumer has the gall to go out and say what he said. Stay right there, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. We are coming right back.
A mighty powerful heat, but it's almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
Well, yes, the sun is a mighty heat, and it has these coronal mass ejections, evidently that we're heading towards the Earth could cause some pretty bad disruptions, perhaps, we're going to see and find out, of course. But also we'll see some of those northern lights, what I understand, even further south now as a result of that. It's the first time in, say, 20 years, I understand, that something like this has occurred. So we will keep watch and we will let you know what we find out. And folks, welcome back to the show. Kyle Warren with you, of course, and 949-822-7959 is the number to call. If you'd like to be part of the program this morning, like to opine on things that we're talking about here. But what if I told you, my friends, that you could save a baby's life for just $28? Well, it's true. Preborn is a ministry that is doing just that with the help of people just like you by offering free ultrasound sessions to pregnant women and girls who might otherwise choose to end their pregnancy. We know that pregnant girls and women who can see their babies on ultrasound are far more likely to choose life. And your gift today can save babies' lives. Just $28 can give a mother who is abortion-minded the chance to see the truth of the baby that's growing inside her. $140 can do this for five girls and women. And a gift of $15,000 would provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. So whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call away. It's just a click away as well. And there's no better time than right now to save a baby's life. So I want you to call 833-850-BABY. That's 833-850-2229. Or give online at letstalkfaith.com. That's letstalkfaith.com. All right, so once again, folks, welcome back to the program. Let's listen in to Donald Trump talking in court, or talking outside of court, I should say, about, again, the corrupt judge and so forth. But he also goes in to talk about, I believe, what's happening with some of the reaction to this trial. For example, Jonathan Turley. And by the way, I really respect Jonathan Turley. I think he's got so much to say about this. And the way that he analyzes these cases is really second to none. He and Alan Dershowitz, I think, both have such a great perspective on these things. And what the important takeaway here, my friends, is that when we listen to Turley or we listen to Dershowitz, you know, they don't have some kind, I mean, in other words, they can't be accused of having a Trump style agenda, right? And they can't be accused of trying to simply, they're not joining in into the MAGA movement or anything like that. They can't be accused of that. So their analysis, of course, is so important, because here you have people who may not want to vote conservative. They may not even want to vote Republican. I don't know. I'm just simply laying that as the foundation here. But their foundation is the law. And regardless of political persuasion, if the law is perverted, if the law becomes something that we have this new term, lawfare, if it's something that can simply be wielded, for lack of a better expression, by the sovereign, right? I mean, then we just went back 500 years. I mean, this isn't funny anymore. And they have decided, the far left and the Democrat Party elite, well, we'll get Donald Trump, we'll get him in court, and we'll make him look bad. We'll get him convicted of something because some polling data says it's a big deal if he gets convicted. But people, I think this is already baked in. People already understand that a lot of this stuff is simply being put together for the express purpose of having a trial and a kind of shock value of Stormy Daniels. And the list just goes on. But when you have people who love the law and you have people who respect the law and people who don't want to see the law morphed into just another political weapon, well, I think we need to listen. I think we need to realize that for all of us, if this is perverted, that means that every single one of us has the potentiality of being railroaded by some kind of prosecution or trumped up, you know, no pun intended, trumped up charge or some other kind of thing that only serves the political purposes of somebody else. And that's one of the reasons why justice is blind, right? She has the blindfold on. She has the scales. And, of course, even in our revered Pledge of Allegiance and justice for all, that's the promise. That's the expectation. That's what sets us apart from so many other nations, not just currently, but throughout Earth history. It's a big deal. Let's listen in to Donald Trump as he was talking about this earlier.
So thank you very much. On Saturday, we have a tremendous rally. I hope you're all going to be there. It's in Wildwood, New Jersey. There's going to be a big crowd, and we're going to be saying a lot. We'll be able to campaign on Saturday. And nevertheless, we have a horrible gag order that shouldn't be allowed. It's never been on. Nothing like this has ever happened. What you're witnessing is a first. I have some articles that came out this morning. Jonathan Turley, the predominant question in the Manhattan hush money trial of former President Donald Trump is not one of guilt, but something far more basic. Is the district attorney Alvin Bragg's case a joke? Is it a prank? Is it a farce? On Thursday, the answers became...
And so there you have Donald Trump, and he's talking about Jonathan Turley, and is this whole thing, is it a prank? Is it a farce? And it really kind of turns out that that's exactly what it is. And it's, you know, it's interesting to me, and I think I've said this before, but I think it bears repeating. At some point in the future, people will be looking at this, they'll be watching it, they'll be reading about it, on their, I was going to say in the history books, but in the future, it'll just be, you know, some kind of history chip or something like that. And they'll plug it into their brain port or something, and they'll get the history of it. And it's going to be something that says, how did they do this? This flies against everything that we know of how the law should operate. I can't believe those people 100 years ago were doing this. I mean, because it's easy for us in so many ways. You know, we look back at major historical events or periods of time where something big happened, something that changed the course, or some way that somebody was railroaded for something. And we say, well, gosh, I mean, you know, they didn't have the protections that we have today. Well, my friends, those protections seem to be headed out, you know, out to pasture, as it were. And that's not funny anymore, is it? All right, let's listen over here now. I've got to set this. I want to see if I can get this in on this segment here. Let's listen to Joy Reid over at MSNBC. And Joy Reid is saying Donald Trump is the luckiest man on the planet. Anybody else, she says, literally anybody else would already be in prison. I just want you to hear this because it's just so off base. Let's listen in.
Trump is a man who has never faced any real consequences for his actions. It's like letting a child do whatever they want. You know what you'll get when they grow up. Trump does and says whatever until his behavior becomes more and more offensive and absurd, and then he just gets away with it. This sad fact about the people who raised him and the sycophants and toadies who have propped up his failures and his ego is currently playing out in front of us all. Today, he got a break in Georgia. An appeals court agreed to consider his appeal to have Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis disqualified from his election interference case, likely delaying that case even further. And in a case literally anyone else would already be in prison for, Trump's mishandling of classified documents, his personal judge, Aileen Cannon, has delayed it indefinitely. It was scheduled to start later this month, but Judge Cannon says, oops, too many unresolved issues, can't do it.
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. Okay, the idea, too many unresolved issues, can't do it. You know what that means? It means that there are legal issues that have to be resolved. It's not just arbitrary. That's how the law works. This is my point. This is not something you can simply rule by fiat, but that's what the left loves to do. They want to live, they want to rule by fiat. We're not going to have that happen. Stay right there, everybody. We are coming right back. Weekend Edition continues on, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. And we have so much more to tell you about and talk about. And we're glad that you're there, by the way. And once again, 949-822-7959 is the number to call if you'd like to be part of the program this morning. And if you'd like to head over to our home website, KyleWarrenShow.com, you're welcome to do that as well. And you can send us a direct message. Well, we were talking about the Trump trial here in the last segment, and it's definitely something that I think a lot of people out there have seen through. They realize that this is no longer, some kind of legitimate thing. In fact, I mean, there's so many things wrong with this trial, from the statute of limitations to the salacious testimony that they've had in place now from Stormy Daniels. This is only designed to take that trial to a different level and make it really now not about the record keeping or whatever is alleged to have happened here, but really to turn it into, again, sort of this very, sensational kind of a thing that is only designed to make Trump sit there and listen through it and look bad. And that way people can sort of make fun of the whole thing. That's what this thing is really all about. And I think it was put very well by Senator Rick Scott. We heard this earlier in the week, but for our weekend listeners, of course, like to bring this clip back. Here's Senator Rick Scott from Florida talking about the so-called hush money case. And I think he put things very, very well. Let's listen in to Senator Rick Scott.
This is nothing about Stormy Daniels. Let's remember what this case is about. They're trying to prosecute this president for how an expense was the records were done. That's all there was. It's nothing about her. No.
Did it have anything to do with the gag order?
No, I'm fed up. I watched what happened to me and my company. I've watched what's happened. I've talked to business people over the years, what's happened to them when you have political persecution. And now what I've watched what President Trump has done with all these cases. This is just simply, they don't want this guy on the ballot. I mean, they've tried to kick him off the ballot in the states. Now they're trying to put him in jail. They've tried everything they can because they know they can't beat him.
Last question. Do you believe that it was a legal
Just remember what this is about. This is about they're trying to prosecute this guy for how something was recorded, and that's all it is. This is just pure political persecution.
When you have these.
So there you have Senator Rick Scott putting it very well, I think. I think it's absolutely 100% right. And, again, It's hard to believe that we're actually witnessing something like this, isn't it? It's hard to believe. In fact, you've got Michael Cohen, who's part of this thing, of course. This from the New York Post. Michael Cohen keeps posting bizarre TikToks, including a live stream that showed Donald Trump behind bars, despite Manhattan prosecutors repeatedly pleading with him to stay quiet about the hush money case. It was revealed in court on Friday. The former president's lawyers griped to Manhattan Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan that Cohen should be muzzled, as their client is, after he went live on social media app on Wednesday night wearing an anti-Trump T-shirt. He's wearing a white T-shirt with a picture of President Trump behind bars, Trump attorney Ted Blanche said about the footage after jurors in the criminal trial were sent home for the day. It's becoming a problem every day, every single day, that President Trump is not allowed to respond to this witness. But this witness has continued to talk. Prosecutors admitted that they have pleaded with their star witness to stay quiet about the case, but that he's blabbed about it anyway. And we've repeatedly asked the witness not to do that. Assistant District Joshua Steinglass said after Blanche asked the judge to expand the case's gag order to stop Cohen from speaking out about the charges. The fact of the matter is these witnesses are not subject to the gag order, and we have no remedy if they engage in those activities. And, you know, again, Michael Cohen, it's hard to really take him seriously, isn't it? But this is all part and parcel. And by the way, this is the best they got. This whole thing is the absolute best that they've got. And I think that that shows us a lot as well. If this is the best that they really can do, and then sort of, you know, lament the idea that the classified documents case is now indefinitely postponed because there are legal questions to be resolved. In other words, you know, we heard that from Joy Reid in the last segment, and that was so bizarre because if we really are going to maintain this notion that justice is supposed to be injustice for all, then every little thing has to be just right in a court case. These are reasons why you have appeals, obviously. Sometimes mistakes are made, and that's what the appeals process is there for, right? Sometimes rulings are not correct, and that's why the appeals process is there. But a lot of this is assuming that everybody's sort of acting in good faith, that everybody is coming to the table in order to play by these sets of rules. And yes, I know that, you know, attorneys do this and that, and I get it. There are ways of trying to play within those rules and figure out a way to really make it go your way. I get it. But if things are being so slumped towards framing or railroading somebody, then that, my friends, is something that the American people really just, they don't just bristle at. I think they're really opposed to that kind of thing. And again, because Trump represents that everyman, right? Trump is not seen as being an elitist who's far away, who doesn't understand people, who isn't close to them, or doesn't, you know, share their thoughts about how things are going in the country. In fact, it's all the exact opposite. And this is one of the reasons why we have these things that are coming against Donald Trump in this particular fashion. And they know it. And they know that they can't go out and beat him. In fact, we heard from James Carville in hour number one saying, you know, he, and as I said, I think Donald Trump has finally just broken James Carville. This is it. And James Carville just almost fell apart, saying, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do. I could have a podcast. I can get on TV. I can write articles and do all this stuff, and nothing works. And he's coming to that realization. And that is a little bit of a window into why the Democrats and the party elite and so forth, why they are so desperate and why they are utilizing these particular avenues and these particular ways to try to stop Trump at any cost that they can. You know, that's because they realize, my friends, that the things that they say don't really resonate, right? The way that they want to make the economy go doesn't really resonate. I mean, they've had a chance here. I'm not just talking about the general election cycles that go on since time immemorial, but literally things were going well. We had the pandemic. That's a different story. But coming out of the pandemic, we were well positioned to do that. And the Democrats came in, the Biden administration came in, and they pretty much ruined the whole thing. And now they realize that people don't believe them. We've turned the economy around, says Joe Biden, but people don't believe him, right? And because the way that he's saying it, number one, there's a condescending tone to that, Well, we've turned it around. We've turned it. It's the best economy in the world, he says. Now, in general terms, in generally speaking, the U.S. economy typically is chugging along as the best in the world, you know, in that grand sense. But I heard a phrase a long, long time ago, kind of always stuck with me, you know, the idea, well, ours is the best. This is the best, but it's not doing well, right? In fact, so the way this phrase went is, it's like saying you have the best Ford Pinto. And anybody remembers, I got nothing against Ford, but everybody remembers the Pinto and all the problems that were associated with it. You know, it's a funny way of saying, you know, I'm so great, but at the same time, there are these massive problems. Wouldn't you rather fix the massive problems than have than just say that, okay, we've got these bragging rights? Because those bragging rights, you know, are just not worth the paper that they would be printed on at that point, right? This is real stuff for real people. All right, stay right there, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. We are coming right back. And when we return, we'll be talking with Denise Simon as we head up to the top of the hour on this wonderful Saturday morning. AM860, The Answer. Kyle Warren with you. Stay right there. Everybody, Kyle Warren with you, of course. Welcome back as we continue racing through and rocketing through this weekend edition of the program. Glad to be with you, of course. And we have so much more to tell you about and talk about. And in just a little bit, we'll be talking with Denise Simon, founderscode.com, and of course, also the Denise Simon Experience on Facebook. And so we got that heading in here in just a moment. And we've got a lot more to tell you about and talk about, as I said. So, by the way, it looks to me that, you know, we've had a lot to do with this Joe Biden policy or the Biden administration policy of withholding military aid from Israel. But now House Democrats are even starting to push back against this. More than two dozen House Democrats told National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on Friday they're deeply concerned about President Joe Biden's threat to withhold military aid from Israel. The 26 lawmakers, led by Representative Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey, wrote a letter to Sullivan that asserted withholding weapons shipments to Israel only emboldens our mutual enemies, including Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and other Iranian-based proxies. Well, hear, that's exactly what we've been talking about. And this kind of a policy shift is not going to get any of the desired results. In fact, it's only going to have bad results. It's not just going to embolden our mutual enemies, but it's going to embolden the protesters. Protesters aren't saying, "Oh, yippee! Now we've got this shift in policy, and it's all good." And so, yeah, we're just kind of back off now because Joe Biden, he's getting it now, and he's withholding some of these shipments. And so we can kind of all go home. We can stop this protesting. That's not happening at all, because even at the top of the show this morning, we had a very interesting article from Reuters that says that's not happening at all. In fact, now they want to have a major sea change shift. Now they want a major sea change shift in policy. It goes on. This letter goes on. 7 months after October the 7th, the deadliest day for the Jewish people since the end of the Holocaust, Iranian-backed terrorist proxies continue to fire rockets and mortars into Israel and at Americans from all directions, they wrote. At the same time, anti-Semitism is spreading globally like wildfire. Now, what's the White House reaction to that? I saw a quote, basically just paraphrasing here, from Karine Jean-Pierre. Well, they've evidently, you know, really sent a letter about something to somebody about anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim feelings. And I don't know that the big issue here is anti-Muslim feelings. It seems to me like the big issue right now is, in fact, anti-Semitism, is, in fact, the idea that Jews are being blamed. Even Jews on college campuses are somehow being singled out and blamed for the things that the anti-Israel protesters are up in arms about. That seems to be a pretty big problem. That seems to be the kind of thing that you would want to single out and make sure that we are laser focused on that. That's what I think. But again, this letter goes on, as I said, it says at the same time, anti-Semitism is spreading globally like wildfire. And Biden on Wednesday said he wouldn't supply arms to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's war effort if his military forces moved forward with an invasion of Rafah, the last stronghold of Hamas in the Gaza Strip. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters the paused shipment included 1,800 to 2,000-pound bombs and 1,700 500-pound bombs. He does not want certain categories of American weapons used in a particular type of operation in a particular place, she said. We have to make sure that we protect those 1.5 million civilians living in civilian lives in Rafah. Okay. Well, the idea again is that, you know, the perception becomes you're caving to the demands of places like Israel or groups like Hamas or protesters on college campuses, because you've now taken yourself so far apart from your ally that when they see that daylight exists, and not just daylight, maybe now it's the sun literally shining through in all of its glory, now they realize that they've got you apart. And they're not sitting there saying, you know, the United States is really cool. You know, we're no longer going to be really going after the United States as well, or Americans. They're going to say, we've got them on the run. This is finally working. We are splitting them apart, and we are making them, you know, essentially hurt one another. This isn't the way to go about this, my friends. And again, if it's some kind of a gesture, the gesture in and of itself doesn't even matter. The gesture, it isn't something that's going to get any desired effect. It will only have a detrimental effect, and that's putting it rather nicely. All right, folks, time now to talk with Denise Simon, founderscode.com and the Denise Simon Experience on Facebook. Good morning, Denise.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. You know, we were just talking about some of these Democrats that sent a letter to Jake Sullivan saying, you know, this is just, you know, pausing these or delaying these shipments are only going to embolden our mutual enemies like Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis. What do you think?
Of course. There are a lot of people that are really pushing back very hard on this administration for what they've done. And as I said, you know, the Biden administration has been toggling or attempting to toggle how Israel fights this war. And they've done the exact same thing with Ukraine. But the interesting thing here too, is that, you can go ahead and ship the weapons, Mr. Biden, and tell Israel, you know, the weapons are yours, but these are the conditions, maybe. But at least get them there, because it could be that Israel may need to use them in Syria or against Hezbollah.
Right. And so what we're doing, and again, this is only just about literally virtue signaling, I guess, to the protesters. you know, or Hamas itself.
This administration is very pro-Palestine. They now have a better relationship, or building a better relationship with Palestinian Arab organizations than they do with Israel.
And that doesn't seem to me, Denise, to be something that is, I mean, could you even make a bizarre argument that that's better in the long term? I'm just not so sure about that.
Well, it's not at all. But, and understand, too, we've got countless agreements that the United States has had for years, countless agreements with Israel for their security. And Biden is really in violation of those, which is the reason that Congressman Corey Mills has gotten a couple of cooperation signatures to file for articles of impeachment, using the exact same language as Congressman Jerry Nadler used on the Trump impeachment about the Ukraine phone call.
Well, exactly right. Well, of course, that's Trump, and that's, you have to, that's a whole different story. He's on a different justice track than just about anybody else. And, it's interesting because I think it was Joy Reid over at MSNBC was like, Trump has his personal judge and all this, and got the other, the documents case, classified documents case, indefinitely postponed because, something else didn't add up. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. See, this is what they want. They want Trump to just be railroaded. They want him to not have the same abilities or protections or process or procedure that anybody else would get under the law.
If there's a case for anybody to join group therapy, it would be Joy Reid and add her with Maxine Waters.
Yes, I think you're right. You just need some coffee and donuts. All right. Denise Simon, stay right there. It's the Weekend Edition, everybody. We're coming right back. Much more with Denise. And we'll take your phone calls, too, at the bottom of the next hour. Kyle Warren with you. So remember, Joe Biden has already turned the economy around. We've already done that. There was even an ABC report that just basically shredded stuff that Joe Biden was saying in that interview on CNN with Aaron Burnett, namely the claim that inflation was at 9%. Essentially 9.1%, I believe, when Joe Biden took office. Well, that's not true. And they even pointed that out. I think this is really, we have reason, my friends, to be enthusiastic at this point, only because when the truth becomes so known and it's something that just flies in the face of what the candidate is saying, what the president is saying in this case, then maybe there's just a little bit. I'm not going to get super excited, but I will say there's a flicker of hope for that. All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Kyle Warren with you. It is the Weekend Edition. We're having a lot of fun this morning, and we're going to open up the telephone lines at the bottom of the hour. If you have any questions or comments for Denise Simon, founderscode.com, and the Denise Simon Experience on Facebook, you can also head on over to my home website, kylewarrenshow.com. That's kylewarrenshow.com if you want to send us a direct message. And we've already heard from listener Joan up in Seattle, Washington this morning. And Joan says, Seattle is seeing a great Northern Light show. Very exciting. A check off my bucket list. Well, that's pretty cool. And we'll bring in Denise Simon, DeniseSimonFoundersCode.com. Well, that's pretty cool for Joan up in Seattle, isn't it, Denise, to see those Northern Lights?
Yeah. it is said that they may be able to see them as far south as Alabama. Not sure about that, but yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is really awesome indeed. This has, of course, has everything to do with the coronal mass ejections that have evidently have been emitted from the sun that could cause not just this wonderful light show, but maybe other disruptions as well. But that remains to be seen. But, you know, Denise, I guess they'll try to find a way to blame the coronal mass ejections on Donald Trump.
MAGA crowd.
That's right, the MAGA crowd. They've really disturbed the sun and you know, they have to do that. But, you know, one of the things I was dying to ask you about when you came on the program this morning is I had a clip earlier of James Carville. But I'm beginning to think that Donald Trump may have broken James Carville because James Carville is saying, you know, no matter what I do, no matter what we do, nothing is working. He's just exasperated that they, and he says Trump is just so far ahead. He's really angry about this.
Well, I'm sure there's still room in that group therapy. Maybe we can add him too.
I think you're right. But he just was basically saying, look, it's like throwing spaghetti against a wall. He says, I can have a podcast. I can get on TV. I can write articles, but nothing is working. Is it, would they ever look at maybe what they've done, what their record is, and how people are actually being affected by them?
Yeah, you know, I heard yesterday, and I was happy to hear somebody finally say on watching, but anyway, the Democrats don't build anything, they destroy it, and that's where we are, and they don't help people and they don't help things, and what we are seeing on college campuses, what we are seeing in policy, what we are seeing even at the local level with mayors and governors and whatnot, they're just not helping. I mean, the last thing I heard last night as I was going to bed is that California, Los Angeles, I think it is, their city council was interviewing some panel, and they've lost $20 billion. $20 billion that have been appropriated to all things homeless, and they can't account for it. So the question is, well, when can you account for it? Well, maybe in another couple of weeks. Well, this has been going on since 2020. Well, no, it's actually been going on since 2021. Oh, really? And you still haven't figured out where this money is and what the receipts are, what the receivables are? Not yet.
Wow.
When will you do that? Maybe in a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks. Yeah.
Well, I'm
$20 billion.
Yeah, I'm sure all that money went exactly where it was supposed to go, or it's definitely, you know.
Well, she even admitted for the first, you know, 2.5 years it was going to technical glitches and figuring out computer software and analyzing it and making adjustments and looking at these reports and making corrections and so forth. So it all went to a computer.
Wow. Well, it's this kind of stuff that people just, they just can't tolerate any longer.
Well, you know? I mean, $20 billion?
Yeah, with a B.
Couldn't we have built a fence by then, or a southern wall kind of thing?
I don't know. You know, I sometimes think that with $20 billion, you could probably do just about anything you really wanted to. You know, the amount of money now is just off the charts. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
No, has no value. And so, you know, I keep talking about, you know, $34 trillion, which I'll go to my grave not figuring that one out. But $20 billion is meaningless. They talk about it like it's lunch money.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, it is gone.
But where's the outrage?
Well, that's exactly
even the legislature, the city council, whoever it was, you know, the guy didn't seem, he wasn't upset. He was just inquisitive. And he was kind of like, well, how are we supposed to vote on something when we don't know where the $20 billion
is? Oh, my goodness. I mean, that, yeah, there's just no, I'm going to say there's no accounting for that, is there?
No.
All right, Denise, stay right there. Kyle Warren with you. We are coming right back. Much more with Denise Simon, founderscode.com. Don't go anywhere, folks. The weekend edition, folks, is always a lot of fun because it means we've gone through another great week of broadcasting, rounding out here early on Saturday morning, and we're glad that you're there, glad to be here. Telephone number is 949-822-7959. We're going to open up the telephone lines at the bottom of the hour if you have any questions or comments for Denise Simon, founderscode.com, and the Denise Simon Experience on Facebook. And Denise, you know, there evidently are a group of, there's at least one senator, Chris Van Hollen, out of Maryland, a Democrat, who's taken some issue with some of these reports about the war in Gaza and kind of accusing the Biden administration of just taking at face value what the Netanyahu government is talking about. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, I have not heard Van Hollen's had to say. The Biden administration is actually in violation of law, and it isn't the recent appropriations bill that was just passed, but rather a law that was passed in 2012. And Section 4, Paragraph 4 says, reads, provide the government of Israel defense articles and defense services through such mechanisms as appropriate to include air refueling tankers, missile defense capabilities, and specialized munitions.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Specialized munitions. So... Now, this bill is actually titled United States-Israel Enhanced Security Cooperation Act of 2012. Mm-hmm. Public law.
Wow.
So there you go. Uh-huh.
Well, one of these things that the senator, Chris Van Hollen, is talking about, I think basically saying that he's saying if the conduct, I'm just paraphrasing here, he says if the conduct basically of Israel – and I'm, this is a part of the direct quote, if it complies with international standards, God help us all. And so this is, to me, kind of part and parcel of building up again against Israel as opposed to standing with Israel and making sure that Hamas does get rooted out. And a lot of times, Denise, I think that there's a disconnect because maybe they're not taking into account how embedded Hamas is and how they use people as human shields.
They know.
Yeah.
Trust me, they know. They absolutely know. Now, yesterday, I get this thing from the New York Times, and I didn't pay for it because I'm not doing a paywall
yeah,
thing.
Right. Yeah.
But the Biden administration is suggesting that they may have some evidence that Israel has violated whatever with the use of weapons. Now, they couldn't prove anything. They're just suggesting it. They're just sort of floating that out there.
Well,
so
but, yes,
they're setting up their defense of Biden here already.
Right. Well, and of course, Israel... First of all, they know that there is so much scrutiny, you know, to a very high level of scrutiny of what they're doing. And it seems to me that they're very meticulous in the way they plan, because they know that the propaganda is going to always go against them. So they have to, it's like they have to be aware of that. They have to bake that into to what they're doing.
Everything they do.
Yeah, exactly. I can't imagine, you know, it'd be as if we're trying to fight Al-Qaeda or get Osama bin Laden, but yet everything, every single article is always about how terrible we are for trying to go after Al-Qaeda and trying to get Osama bin Laden. I mean, it would just make it almost untenable to be able to conduct operations.
Yeah, I mean, how many non-combatants were killed in that raid at that house? If you just wanted to kill him, you know, the SEAL team blasted a couple other people before they even got to him. Oh, well, they were non-combatants.
Right.
Where's the shame? You know, I mean, this is all...
I know.
You're either, as George Bush would say, you're either with us or you're with the other ones. So
with the terrorists.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, you know, we spend a lot of time obviously talking about Israel and with these different developments, because it is now, it is absolutely embedded into the political, into the presidential campaign, especially for the Biden administration or the Biden campaign. You know, there was an article earlier, Denise, on Reuters that basically said, you know, pulling back on the weapons or pausing that, that's having no effect to these protest groups. In other words,
it's not enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's not winning anything by capitulating or appearing more weak than he already has appeared.
And right.
So it just seems to me that all this does, it also helps to get Israeli soldiers, I hate to say, killed in the line of duty, because
they lost four yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just terrible. I just can't imagine, you know, where we're going to be in 6 months if the Biden administration continues down this path of just, again, putting all that distance between us and Israel.
The risk adverse, being risk adverse, is the risk.
Well, exactly right. Exactly right. And, of course, you know, you had Jen Psaki, by the way, over at MSNBC, I expect. But she was, you know, saying this should have happened a long time ago or something like that. You know, they should have started withholding things a while back. I mean, that now it's starting to come out of the woodwork. It's like, well, okay, well, how do you really feel about Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza?
Well, the new campaign meme going on out there is Biden Hamas instead of Biden Harris.
Okay. Well, that is very clever, but it's also in so many ways descriptive.
Well, yeah, it's absolutely descriptive. Now, if you ask any one of these protesters what Sharia is, one couldn't tell you, which says everything that you'd necessarily need to know. And who is it? This Gretchen Thunberg person, you know, that woman.
Oh, yeah. The young girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's standing with the Palestinians. So let's go ask her, you know, are you good with living under Sharia law? But don't ask, just, you know, they don't know what it is.
All they know is what they hear is they hear free Palestine. So part of that phrase is free. And, you know, generally speaking, people react to the word free in a positive way to say, oh, well, yeah, but that means somebody's not free. Well, we want them to be free. But you're right. But they haven't done any homework. They don't know what is really happening there, perhaps. You know, in other words, those that just kind of get on a bandwagon. And when you get on that bandwagon, what happens? Well, you get press and people start talking about what you said. And just like here, I mean, oh, she's joined up with the bandwagon. It gets people notoriety. And that just kind of irks me sometimes, Denise, because sometimes there's just too many people out there, too many of these actors. I don't mean Hollywood actors, but even so. But people have just this cottage industry that they hear, just get my name out there. That's not good.
Prior to October the 7th, was Palestine free? Can anybody answer that one on the left?
Right. Well, but they were
Gaza could have done anything. Those living in Gaza could have done anything they wanted to do with that territory that Israel already gave up. And look what they did with it.
And you're that, see, bingo, you're right on the point there, because you're right. They could have made it into a show place. They could have
done
anything.
To them as a show place.
Yeah.
It was left to them with farms and buildings and all that. It was left that way. And still to this day, I mean, going back to this piece of legislation that I looked at that was passed in 2012 between the United States and Israel, section or paragraph 6 on almost the first page. Over the past several years, with the assistance of the governments of the Islamic Republic of Iran and Syria, Hezbollah and Hamas have increased their stockpile of rockets with more than 60,000 now ready to be fired at Israel. So in 2012, there were 60,000, and that included Hamas.
Yeah. And if they were to actually fire those things off, guess what? You know, that would be bad for sure. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Denise Simon, stay right there. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour, everybody. When we return, we'll take your telephone calls, 949-822-7959, as we go through this wonderful weekend edition. So stay right there. We will be back literally in a flash.
I'm Pittsburgh, I really mean it.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
Well, it turns out, my friends, that consumer sentiment slumped in May, declined in May to a six-month low, went down from 60 to 67.4. where it was already at 77.2. So that's significant, no doubt about that. And, maybe they just didn't get the memo. Maybe they didn't get the memo that Biden had already turned the economy around, as he said on the CNN interview. But once again, welcome back, Denise Simon, founderscode.com. Good morning again, Denise.
Good morning.
Yeah, they didn't get the memo, did they? It's all so we just have to explain it to them more. That's actually doing well. They're wrong. They're all wrong. Well, I'll tell you what, Denise, let's head over to the telephone lines. I think we got a first-time caller this morning.
Yay.
Yeah, so let's pick up the line here. Good morning, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller. Hello, caller.
Hello.
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 Good morning, caller. You're with us.
Yes. My name is Chris, and I'm calling from Tampa. I have a question for both of you.
Sure.
Will Trump be campaigning at all in Pennsylvania while the trial goes on? And then the second question I have, I was away, and then I came back, and Kyle, you were heading the show. What exactly happened to Captain Bruce?
Well, I appreciate the question. I really don't have any specific information other than what's available publicly right now. But we can definitely take your first question. We appreciate it. We hope that you can call back again sometime. Thank you, Chris. All right. Take care.
The answer on Captain Matt Bruce is that the employment between he and the station had been terminated, had ceased. I think that happened late last year. And he's not, from what I can tell, Matt Bruce isn't doing anything these days, although he's considering going back into radio.
Yeah. So what do you think about the Trump question?
Yeah. As far as Trump campaigning in Pennsylvania during the trial, I would say the answer could be yes. He has only the weekends and evenings and occasionally on Wednesdays to do it. So we don't know what his schedule necessarily looks like, but they suspect that this trial will go on for two more weeks. It may end sooner than that. I think let's see, last night or today, I think he is in Bedminster, New Jersey, and they expect a very big rally there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Chris in Tampa.
Okay.
Thank you
very much. Hey, I just was wondering.
Thank you, Chris.
I couldn't figure out why I didn't go into Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Because it's such an important swing state.
Right. No, you're right. Hey, thanks again, Chris. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Take care.
You have a good, you're very good, Kyle,
hey,
by
thank
the way.
You. I appreciate that.
Okay,
that makes my day. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, Denise, that really makes our day. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Glad to hear from Chris. And absolutely, again, kind words are just mean so much. Absolutely. I think, where Trump is concerned, you know, he's got to work around the trial. He's got to work around all this other stuff that is just, you know, if this was any other campaign, it would have already sunk that campaign.
Yeah. But, you know, every time he comes out to take a break now, he's using, you know, when they do a lunch break or a, you know, afternoon break, he is using that time to get in front of the cameras, not so much to complain as he was doing for the whole entire time about this case, but he's using the time now wisely to actually do campaigning. So whether it may be 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 10 minutes, he's actually using that time.
Well, exactly right. Yeah.
And should.
No, well, of course. And again, you know, as I was saying, it would have sunk any other campaign. They really have thrown everything they have at him. We had a great call yesterday, I believe, you know, talking about, you know, this is what they have. You know, they're finding out that Trump is actually, pretty devoid of the typical scandals that you have with politicians, and they've got to make something up, or they've got to bring in Stormy Daniels, and the very fact that she's even being cross-examined, you know, there are some out there, it's like, well, you know, they're being so bad, why are they cross-examining her, basically, is kind of the thrust of this, as opposed to just, again, taking everything she says as the gospel truth.
I think the best moment in television for all of this year, certainly so far, will be closing arguments. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah.
By the way, you mentioned Northern Lights. I'm seeing people on social media as far south as South Carolina posting pictures of the here's one in North Carolina about Aurora Borealis and the lights. So, yeah, people south of the Mason-Dixon have the ability to Tybee Island. I'm looking at it.
Wow. I mean, that's really, really something. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mentioned in the first hour, Denise, because we have this, you know, this event happening in the sun and coming out of the sun. You know, sometimes it's interesting, you know, because it kind of puts a lot of stuff in perspective. I mean, we had this grand event is occurring in our solar system, and it kind of gives you a little bit of a pause from the
it
typical
does.
Stuff.
And it's yes, there's a sense of beauty in it. Here's somebody in the photos from Arizona. Goodness.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I should go out and look up in the sky. I don't know if you can see it in the
Kansas?
Los Angeles area.
I'm looking at Kansas. So, yeah. We're cheated down here in Florida because they won't get this far south.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But again, I mean, that's one of these things, too. You know, something like this, just because it's an event, and you know, these kinds of things hopefully kind of unite people. In the sense that, you know, we're all still living on the planet here, you know, and we gotta find some way moving forward.
We all have the same sky.
Exactly. But even so, there were other events, like, for example, the moon landing or things like that, that mm-hmm. seemed to unify people even for that little bit of time. And we just don't seem to have those kinds of things these days where people say, okay, we're all just sort of in this together. Everything has become somehow a political fight.
Yeah, well, you, precisely, you know, including Mother's Day. You know, according to the Biden administration, you know, they're trying to take away gender and motherhood and all of that. So the next thing you know is, and by the way, speaking of that, did you hear where the state of New York wants to challenge individually wrapped cheese, you know, for your...
Oh, really? By the slice, you mean, or something?
Yes. Yeah. I heard that last night, and I looked at my husband, and I said, who has time to think of that nonsense? Who?
You're right.
You know, the world's crumbling, and some people in the legislature or something are concerned about individually wrapped cheese. Really?
What does that hurt, though? I don't even get it. I couldn't even think of something that would be wrong with that.
I almost can't stand it.
Yeah.
I just almost can't stand it.
Well, but that's one of the things, too. It's that it's become like a cottage industries for people to say, well, I'm mad about this. And so, you know,
everybody else needs to be mad with me. And right. Yeah. And right. We're going to stop this, but blah, 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 blah. There's Murphy Mountains, North Carolina, the lights in the sky.
Oh, very right. Cool.
I mean, some of these pictures are beautiful. I mean, they don't even look real. They're so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's hitting the Earth's magnetic field, as I understand. And typically they're only seen very far north. And some of my relatives in Michigan sometimes see them, I think, on rare occasions, this kind of thing. But yeah, it's really something to see. And again, it reminds us that we have this wonderful, beautiful, natural world around us, and hope maybe gives us a little bit of pause. Hopefully.
Well, but even if it just takes a minute or two, go outside and look up and, you know, have a nice chat with the person standing next to you doing the same thing.
Indeed. Well, Denise, also, I know that everybody joins with me in wishing you a very happy Mother's Day this weekend.
Aw,
well.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. Well, we're going to talk to you again on Monday morning.
Yes, sir.
So
we will.
Have a great weekend. You too. Take care. Denise Simon, everybody, founderscode.com and the Denise Simon Experience on Facebook. And yes, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there as well. We're going to come right back for the final segment of the weekend edition. Can't believe it, folks. Made it all the way through the week. Stay right there.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
All right, I'm just going to say it like this. The Saturday morning edition of the program, also known collectively as the weekend edition, continues on, everybody. You know, I got to tell you, you know, we have more fun on this show than I think probably than probably we're supposed to. I'm pretty sure. But at any rate, folks, one of the great things about this show is that we do get a lot of great participation. And by the way, again, I want to thank Denise Simon. It's always great. She always sticks around with us here on the weekend edition. I appreciate that so very much. A lot of times there are developing stories or other things that we really get a lot of great analysis from her. And again, I really appreciate it. And also want to wish another happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Without the moms, everything would just completely collapse. Nothing would get done, and our society would fade away into obscurity. There's just no doubt about it. And so in all seriousness, though, from my heart, happy Mother's Day to you. And I hope that you have a great day, that you enjoy the day, and that you're able to be pampered in some way, you know, and taken out to brunch or dinner or something like that. But that, whatever it is, time spent with family or hearing from family, if they're in far-flung places in the world, we just wish you the very, very best on this Mother's Day 2024. Also, folks, I have a question for you. What if I told you that you could save a baby's life for just $28. Well, it's true. Preborn is a ministry doing just that with the help of people just like you by offering free ultrasound sessions to pregnant women and girls who might otherwise choose to end their pregnancy. We know that pregnant girls and women who can see their babies on ultrasound are far more likely to choose life. They're far more likely to choose life. And your gift today can save babies' lives. Just $28 can give a mother who is abortion-minded the chance to see the truth of the baby that's growing inside her. $140 can do this for five girls and women. A gift of $15,000 would provide an ultrasound machine that would save lives for years to come. So whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or a click away. And there's no better time than right now to save a baby's life. Call 833-850-BABY. That's 833-850-2229. Or you can give online at letstalkfaith.com. That's letstalkfaith.com. And we hope that you can go over there and check that out. Call the number and get involved in this very, very important, important work. No doubt about it. Well, once again, folks, yeah, we do have a lot of fun here on the show, and we do get a lot of great response, and I'm always so appreciative of it. And, you know, one of the things we're doing in building this overnight community, and in fact, there was a listener in Las Vegas at the time, and they said they had a real nice compliment for the show. They said it's kind of like old-time talk radio. It's old-school talk radio, you know, where you take calls a lot and, you know, there's a lot of interaction and so forth. And I always remembered that, and I always thought that was kind of cool. What a great observation. And so that's, you know, again, we're so happy to be here with you, and so happy that that you're responding to the show. So, and it, like, for example, when Chris gives those kind words earlier last segment, that just really makes my day. I really, really appreciate it. All right. So once again, now we had this clip earlier throughout this last week coming up here to the weekend, but I think it bears repeating here. This is David Axelrod. He's on CNN, and he's kind of like James Carville. I think he's a little surprised that things are bad as they are for the Biden campaign, you know, because from their perspective, hey, this is all working. I mean, you know, we know how to message, we know how to go out there and sort of get the job done, and you just kind of go by the numbers, and you know, it's just it's a procedure that they follow, and they got to tweak the procedure, you know, each campaign cycle a little bit, but pretty much the procedure is kind of the same. And they just got to tweak it and make sure that it, you know, keeps getting corrected here and there. But I think people like James Carville, who's now kind of thrown up his hands, he was very exasperated about this. Nothing is working, he's saying. And here's David Axelrod on CNN, and he's talking about, you know, that maybe Joe Biden needs to change his strategy. Maybe it's Joe Biden's pride that's actually going to sink him in November. Let's listen in.
I don't understand this. I don't understand all these months later. You know, he went, I thought they spent $25 million mistakenly last fall touting Bidenomics and making the same argument that the president's making here. It is absolutely true. The world was plunged into an economic crisis, and America was plunged into an economic crisis by the pandemic, and we've come back faster than almost any other country. And he's right about that, but that's not the way people are experiencing the economy. They're experiencing it through the lens of the cost of living. And he is a man who's built his career on empathy. Mm. Why not lead with the empathy? And I think he's making a terrible mistake. You know, it may not be, if he doesn't win this race, it may not be Donald Trump that beats him. It may be his own pride.
I mean,
so that's pretty interesting. I just don't know, though. I agree completely with the idea of the pride and all that. I'm sure that that has a lot to do with it in terms of how Biden's being perceived and how he is sort of presenting himself to the voters with this notion that, no, I've already turned the economy around. Yes, everything's up by about 30%. Aaron Burnett posed that question to him in the CNN interview. He said, well, people have money, but they're just kind of mad that they got to spend more of that money. That, my friends, is not the way to try to be empathetic, as David Axelrod is talking about. But I would take issue with the notion that Axelrod said, and Axelrod's not a dumb guy. You know, he's very experienced in campaigning and this kind of thing. But I don't know that Joe Biden has based his career on empathy. That to me, you know, maybe, I don't know even how he's maybe even using that word. Maybe he's using it in a context that is kind of alien to my understanding. You know, it certainly was never on the level of, I feel your pain or that kind of thing. But Joe Biden, at least nowadays, too, I don't know that Joe Biden's been empathetic at all for a very long time, at least from my perspective. If anything, he's, you know, back in the campaign in 2020, remember he told the radio host Charlemagne the God, you know, that if you don't vote for me, quote, you ain't black. His words, not mine. Right. And, you know, the talking down to people or kind of the attitude of, you know, the get off my lawn kind of thing, or, you know, none of that is empathetic to me anyway. So I would just take issue with Axelrod on that. But overall, though, when you have people like Axelrod or James Carville beginning to sound that alarm, you know, I think that almost anything is possible at that point. I don't know that the campaign's going to take all that kind of stuff to heart. I think that they believe that they are going to continue down this road of somehow everything's great. And no, they're not calling it Bidenomics. They really can't do that. That's a bad connotation at this point. But they also are going to continue to go down the road that Trump's going to steal our democracy, that this is going to be, you know, it's just going to be the worst possible thing in the world for America. We've got to stop Donald Trump. But I'm telling you that the Biden campaign can't use the I'm not Donald Trump thing anymore, because people have something to compare it to now. They're looking back, and I don't care if you get a media person or something that says, well, it's all just rose-colored glasses. You know, people are looking back at the Trump years and saying it was different than what it really was. They have a romantic haze, basically, that they're looking through, or those rose-colored glasses. And I don't think that's really true. I think people are saying, okay, now it's no longer theoretical. Biden said he was going to be the adult in the room, but it turns out he's not. It turns out that they're actually taking everything and pretty much destroying it right in front of our very eyes. And it turns out that Donald Trump was right on energy. He was right on trade. He was right on foreign policy. He was right on the border. He was right on crime. And people start to say, huh, maybe we should just go back to that. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Weekend edition coming to a close, but we will see you bright and early on Monday morning. Kyle Warren with you and saying, take care out there. Have a great weekend and happy Mother's Day.